Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, Diego? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Appreciate you being with us on a fine Monday here. Coming up this morning on the show in this final hour of the program, are the Baltimore Ravens the second-best team in the AFC? An impressive win in Seattle yesterday for Baltimore. But let us begin in Atlanta. I've been banging this drum for the last couple of weeks, and I don't do this with glee. I do this because I feel passionate about it. I'm not happy when guys get fired. I don't dance on their graves. I know that these coaches sacrifice their lives for the most part. Sacrifice their sanity and their families to move around, dot the map, grind out awful hours with low-level salaries to get into it, and they are working every single minute of every single day. I get it. And so I'm not happy to say fire a guy, but I've been talking about this and Dan Quinn for weeks now, and I say it because the Atlanta Falcons are the biggest underachievers in the NFL. And it has been this way since 28-3. Since they led the Super Bowl 28-3, they have underachieved spectacularly. And it is obvious this team is not looked at and is an elite team in the NFL. This team is not looked at as a Super Bowl contender. This team is looked at as a middling, talented, but not really serious threat in the NFC. And this year they're seen as a dumpster fire. And there is no excuse for them to be this bad. Every year since the Super Bowl, every year, they have underachieved. And for them to blow that lead in the Super Bowl is a scar that will never heal. But since that moment in time, every year they've gotten worse, and every year they've been worse than their talent should dictate. Following that Super Bowl loss, the Falcons came back and were 10-6. A wild card team, not even the second team in their own division. They were the third team in the NFC West and lost to the Eagles in the divisional round. Remember, wild card weekend went out to LA and beat the Rams that year in McVay's first season. So the Falcons had enough talent to get to 10 wins and go on the road across the country and beat a McVay-led Rams team. Lost in that horrendous goal line stand to nowhere against the Eagles in the divisional round in the year the Eagles would win the Super Bowl. There's no reason that Falcons team the year after the Super Bowl should have been 10-6 and the last team of the playoffs. Last year, coming off two playoff seasons, they got even worse. They were sub 500, 7-9. And by the time we got to late October, early November, they were all crucial games for the Falcons, and they lost them all. All of the here's the fork in the road games, if you win, you keep your season alive. If you lose, it's over. They kept losing those games. 7-9. coming into this season, knowing his job was on the line and knowing this is a franchise with a quarterback, with multiple running backs, with perhaps the best wide receiver in football, with multiple weapons at wideout, with a good tight end, with good pass rushers, with good linebackers. This is a team that every step of the way this year has had fork in the road games. You got to win today to keep your season alive. You got to win today to keep your head above water. If you lose today, it buries you. They've lost every one of those games. And yesterday, at home, against that Rams team, the Falcons decided not to show up. They did not show up. This is an Atlanta Falcons franchise that deserves to be so much more than what they have shown over the first 7 weeks of this season.
Third and goal with the play clock at four. The Rams get to the line. Henderson, the rookie, is the tailback. They boot out to the left. Jared in space, weaves inside, beats his man, and runs it in! Goff with the spike! A rushing touchdown! He shook Deion Jones in space, and it's 26-3, L.A.
It's a fair question, quite honestly, because you spend most of your time trying to, you know, connect and get the team to play like we're capable of. And so the answer I would say is no. But why am I, you know, the disbelief at times of not playing like we're capable of, that can be very frustrating.
Number one, that was Dan Quinn being asked whether he's lost the locker room. Number two, that was Rams radio on the call. Number three, did you know Matt Schaub was still in the league? Matt Ryan goes out after getting sacked by Aaron Donald yesterday. And I'm thinking, huh, who's the Falcons' backup? Matt Schaub is the Falcons' backup? This guy still got a job? He was the starter in Houston, what, 7 years ago?
Yeah, former Falcon before that, too.
Exactly.
Mike Vick's backup.
How many quarterbacks have been in Houston since Matt Schaub? We have had 3 years of Deshaun Watson. We had a baby Brock ribs.
A Case Keenum.
There was a Case Keenum year. There was a Fitzpatrick year.
Really?
Yeah, there's a Houston Texans Ryan Fitzpatrick year.
A TJ Yates?
There might have been a Yates in between. I mean, I'd like you to give me all of the Houston Texans quarterbacks since Matt Schaub left, and what's Schaub been doing? Has he been just hanging out in a Home Depot in Atlanta waiting for the call?
Oh man, you forgot a couple names here.
Okay, first of all, when's the last Matt Schaub Texans year?
Matt Schaub played 8 games in 2013, and then that was it.
Okay, so we got 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. That's 6 years he's been hiding in a Home Depot in Atlanta.
And the second half of 2013.
Okay. It clears it.
Oh, that's a bad list.
Okay, give me the Texans quarterback since Matt Schaub.
By the way, prior to that, 2 years prior to that year, Matt Leinart played a game for the Texans at quarterback.
In Houston?
Yes, started a game.
Who knew?
Didn't know.
So since Matt Schaub picked up a stick and had his bag of clothes at the end of the stick, like Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and he hopped in a train and then headed off to Georgia, where he's been hanging around under an underpass waiting for Arthur Blank to find him and waiting for Dan Quinn to make him the backup. What have the Houston Texans done since Schaub?
By the way, these are games started.
Game started.
Case Keenum, 8 games. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 12 games.
I knew it.
Ryan Mallett,
ooh,
2 games.
Right.
Case Keenum back for another 2 games.
Uh-huh.
Brian Hoyer,
9
games.
Right, we forgot Hoyer.
Ryan Mallett jumps back into the fray for 4 games.
Sure.
TJ Yates comes out of nowhere again for 2 games.
Oh.
Brandon Whedon
started a game.
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
Brock Osweiler, 14 games.
Yeah, right.
Tom Savage.
Oh, there was the
games.
Tom Savage year.
Savage back for more the following year.
Savage 7 Garden.
Games. Deshaun Watson, 6 games. TJ Yates, again, 3 games. Watson the rest of the way.
You are a machine of death.
We had a Brandon Whedon in there for a game.
So this Falcons team to get absolutely lit up, and there was nobody in the stands yesterday. This is the reality in Atlanta. That's a soccer town right now. The reality in Atlanta is that is an Atlanta United town.
That is a stadium that cares more about its soccer than its football right now. More about its MLS. Atlanta United defending MLS Cup champs. They're the 2 seed this year. They get a win over the weekend against New England. They move on to the playoffs. And the Falcons season is dead. And that is, you've got to point to Dan Quinn. Look, I think there's blame to go with Matt Ryan as well. But this team has up and quit on Quinn. So what's the point in having him right now employed? What is the point? What is the point? They have up and quit. Maybe you wait another week until the bye, and then you want to fire him going into a bye so that you guys have, if you're the Falcons, a little bit of time to reset. The Falcons have lost 6 games in a row. Sorry, 5 games in a row. They've lost 6 of 7. They've lost to bad teams. They've lost to good teams. They've lost by blowout. They've lost close games. They've lost every single week where the defense was atrocious. Dan Quinn's supposed to be a defensive guy. You got to fire him. It's over. Yesterday, the New Orleans Saints had an impressive victory going to Chicago and just owning the Bears. And I want to ask this question. We know now Mitch Trubisky, who was terrible yesterday. We know Mitch Trubisky is not going to be Patrick Mahomes for his career. And we know Mitch Trubisky is not going to be Deshaun Watson for his career. We know, okay, we absolutely know that Trubisky is not going to be those two guys, and those two guys could be Hall of Fame guys. At the very least, those two guys are perennial Pro Bowl guys. Those two guys are going to be two of the best quarterbacks in football for the next 10 years. We know Trubisky's not those guys. I'm thinking back to 1983. Now, remember, Trubisky is picked ahead of those guys. I'm thinking back to the quarterback class of 1983, where John Elway goes 1, and in the same draft, you have got other Hall of Famers, Jim Kelly and Dan Marino, in the same draft, okay? Now, remember, you have 3 Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the 83 draft, but three other quarterbacks taken in the first round that aren't nearly that good. Elway, Kelly, Marino, Hall of Famers. Then you have Ken O'Brien, taken by the Jets, number 24 overall. Good career, some really, really good moments, but obviously not on par with the Hall of Famers, but a good quarterback solution for 8 years. You have Tony Eason, who's a quarterback solution for the Patriots for like 5 years, one really good season where they go to the Super Bowl in 85, but overall, a huge disappointment. And then you have Todd Blackledge, yes, that Todd Blackledge, who was taken number 7 overall by the Chiefs and a complete and utter bust. Whereas if we assume that Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes will continue on this trajectory and be, if they're not Hall of Famers, perennial Pro Bowl guys and a solution to the quarterback problem of those two franchises for the next 10 years. Will Trubisky be viewed as the Ken O'Brien? Oh boy, you took him ahead of Dan Marino, but at least he had a good career. He was a solution. Is he Tony Eason? Oh God. I mean, he had like 1 good year, but overall pretty disappointing. Or complete and utter bust of Todd Blackledge.
I think it's probably Ken O'Brien. Now, look, he looks awful here, but I'll just say it from this standpoint. A little different. This might be a different scenario, but I think the Bears are always going to have at least a good enough defense and a good enough ground game. And I think Nagy's a good enough head coach that while this year is trending in the wrong way, Trubisky, I think, will make multiple playoff appearances, but they may not be necessarily because of him.
Wow.
So I think we're always going to have a skewed view on Mitchell Trubisky from the standpoint of, okay, he's good enough with a team to get to the playoffs, never over the hump, but is it really because of him that they're making the playoffs? And I think there will always be internal debate amongst Bear fans of how good he actually is.
I think he's Tony Eason. I don't think he's even going to be a solution for 8 years. I don't know if he's going to make that second contract.
I think he will.
He's got end of this year where the Bears are sinking and he looks awful. He's got 2 more years left in this rookie deal. I think after 2.5 more seasons, I think the Bears are going to have to be back looking for another quarterback.
Look, obviously this doesn't play into your point about that draft class, but to me, I think he's going to feel a lot like Andy Dalton, where you're panicked into thinking he's the answer. You spent the first round pick, you sign him to that second deal, and ultimately the wheels will fall off by the end of that second
deal.
But
Andy Dalton, wasn't he at the very end of the first round, if not the early second round?
I agree. They traded up. But
Trubisky was number two.
I'm just talking about from the standpoint of a guy on a team that will make the playoffs multiple times, that you're scared of what else is out there, and tricks you into thinking they're better than they are.
Okay, so you think that the Bears will be too scared to roll the dice
right
on the quarterback
because they're going to be a good enough franchise that they're always in the mix and or making the playoffs.
Did you see how bad Trubisky was?
Awful.
I mean, really pathetic.
And see, that's the difference in
that
game.
He had 84 yards through the first three quarters. And the game was over.
And looked completely inept. And on the opposite side of that, you see Teddy Bridgewater. And while Teddy Bridgewater may not be lighting the world on fire, the Bears can't get Trubisky to look like that with a good defense, a little bit better than a game manager. The Bears would sign for that right now. It's rough sledding, and it just shows you how big a farce last year's Bears season was and how the whole offseason was. Find a guy who could kick a 43-yard field goal, and
totally.
They had so many deeper issues than that.
Yep. Last year lulled Bears fans into a false sense of security, and when I saw people betting on Mitchell Trubisky as NFL MVP, I said, you got to be kidding me.
Oh,
you have to be kidding me. And what happens to Matt Nagy? I mean, of course he's going to stay employed, but Matt Nagy is supposed to be the offensive genius, and Mitchell Trubisky is terrible. Now, granted, he's had the injury this year. He just comes back off of the injury. But the Bears' biggest problem, I mean, yesterday was all over the place, but offensively, they can't do anything through the air. Absolutely nothing. I'm sorry, but the Bears, definite frauds coming into this year, and I think Trubisky's always going to have this, you're not Mahomes, you're not Watson hanging over his head, and that's going to ruin him because he's nowhere close to those guys.
It's a scary proposition. You better be right when you take the quarterback, especially in a deep quarterback draft. And by the way, you know, think about these teams about the draft this year. There's going to be a Mitchell Trubisky out of this group.
Absolutely. You know, we had Lawrence Tynes on, the former New York Giants kicker that has two rings with the Giants yesterday, and he's been very vocal on Twitter recently that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be a bust. He thinks Tua is bad. He thinks Tua is a one-read guy. He's a one-trick pony. When he gets to the NFL, going to get exposed, that he should be a sixth or seventh round draft pick. Now, let's just, for the sake of argument right now, say that Tynes is right. You could take Tua two overall. You could take Tua one overall. And it's possible that Justin Herbert is, I don't want to say Patrick Mahomes, but a star quarterback, and that you've taken the wrong guy who is Mitchell Trubisky number one. I mean, it's possible Jake Fromm is going to be terrible, and you take him number two or something like that.
Jalen Hurts, I'm sure, is shooting up a lot of boards with the year he's having at Oklahoma.
But Trubisky is going to be haunted forever that he's not Mahomes and Watson. He is so limited. And yesterday, I mean, in front of a home crowd, he's getting booed midway through the third quarter. Deservedly so.
Texans have one win this year if Mitchell Trubisky is their quarterback.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
That's how good Watson's been on a team that's been mediocre around them.
And Trubisky, even with a DeAndre Hopkins, even with a Will Fuller, even with those pieces that the Texans would have, I don't think would be able to take advantage of it.
No way. No way he would be. And the Texans' defense hasn't been the Bears' defense.
855-212-4227. The phone number, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. One more note about the 1983 NFL draft class. It also included, beyond three quarterbacks that went to the Hall of Fame, Eric Dickerson, Bruce Matthews, Darryl Green, all in the first round. It had six Hall of Famers in the first round. 28 picks back then, too. Only 28 teams. When we come back here on the show, are the Ravens the second best team in the AFC? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Jackson, first in the backfield. This is going to be a quarterback run. Jackson takes a snap, runs to the right. He's got a seam. He's to the five. He's in. Touchdown, Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens have taken the lead again.
It gave our defense more confidence to stop those guys. It gave our offensive line great confidence. It just gave the whole team confidence. Even the coaches were pumped up. So we just got to do that week in, week out. You know, we can't be stopped. I feel we just playing our game.
Ravens radio on the call. Lamar Jackson after another huge win, this one in Seattle, against the Seahawks by the quarterback of the Ravens. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. 26 minutes past the hour. Today, I'm going to be embarking on a brand new project called Match DA, where we'll be breaking down each round of the MLS postseason, available on YouTube, Twitter, and on Facebook. We'll post that video all of those places today. But if you're an MLS fan and you know you've been caught in the blender of NFL and college football action, I'll be breaking down throughout the postseason all of the rounds of the playoffs. So now quarterfinals are behind us after Saturday and Sunday. I'll be posting the Eastern Conference recap of the quarterfinals today and the Western Conference recap of the quarterfinals tomorrow. And you'll find that in all my social media platforms. Here's a question. Let's re-rack the 2018 quarterback draft. We were just talking about Trubisky, Watson, Mahomes in 2017. 2018. Baker goes one. Baker Mayfield. Sam Darnold, three. Josh Allen, seven. Josh Rosen, 10. Lamar Jackson, 32. I would say right now the Baltimore Ravens are the second best team in the AFC. I love the Bills' defense, and they came to play yesterday. But I think that the Ravens are better top to bottom than that team, that Bills team. And I really like the trade of Marcus Peters paying off dividends again yesterday. In the AFC South, the Indianapolis Colts right now are the best team in that division. I really like how they're built. They're tough. They're tough-minded. They win in the trenches. They've got playoff football blueprint. But I still like the Ravens more because the quarterback is such a crazy difference maker compared to Jacoby Brissett. The Houston Texans are obviously dangerous with what Deshaun Watson does and tons of talent all over the place. But Bill O'Brien, as we know, is a fairly terrifying head coach to bank on when it comes to winning big games and certainly playoff games. Out west, the Kansas City Chiefs should be the best team of that division. They will be more than likely, but without Patrick Mahomes right now, they're obviously a question mark. And does Mahomes' injury hamper him all season long? What is it? The Ravens are the second best team of the AFC. And the Ravens have one of the best wins out of those teams that I'm talking about, going to Seattle yesterday and winning very impressively. And there is a moment in this game where the Ravens are facing 3rd and 15 on the road, crazy tough place to play, and on 3rd and 15, Lamar Jackson gets 13 yards in a way that kind of only Lamar Jackson could twist and turn his body to get 13 yards. And then instead of throwing the kicking unit out there, instead of putting Justin Tucker out there to kick the field goal, Harbaugh goes, you know what, let's go for it. And on 4th and 2, Lamar doesn't only get the first down, but slices his way in between defenders, turns upfield, and gets the touchdown in a scramble that pretty much only Lamar Jackson can do. The Ravens win. I don't know if this is sustainable by Lamar Jackson, although we've seen this year that he's become much better as a passer, much less reliant on his legs. But his legs is what makes him right now so special. But Mraz, let's re-pick right now the 2018 NFL quarterback draft.
I'm in.
Is the first quarterback taken Lamar Jackson?
Well, it's hard to argue that he shouldn't be the first quarterback taken. But I still think ultimately what I watch now, I think Death Man Sam Darnold will be the best quarterback out of this draft.
So Lamar Jackson is the most accomplished to this point in time.
Sure, exactly.
Made the playoffs last year, got to play in a playoff game, and right now the Ravens are probably the second best team of the AFC.
But I think to your point, I think Lamar Jackson's style is going to create for a lot of highlights, and I think some good playoff teams. I am curious about the sustainability. So for me, I think Sam Darnold, what we saw with the Cowboys, it's kind of been a lost early season with the mono, but I've seen enough bright spots out of all of these guys that I think sustainability-wise, Darnold has the most so far.
Darnold has had moments where you go, that guy can be a Pro Bowl quarterback for the next 10 years. So I would agree. I think Sam Darnold probably gets taken number one, although it kind of depends on the coaching staff and if they think they can get what they can get out of Lamar Jackson. Lamar is certainly in the conversation for number one overall.
Yeah, I would go Lamar number two after that. I really would.
I think I would too. Baker had a really good rookie season, but talk about regression. It's only half of year number two, but Baker has been so bad this year.
Baker Mayfield.
And I think the idea that I get the feeling a lot of the league hates Baker Mayfield, and when you put that big a target on your back when you're still a young quarterback and you have everything going against you, I think that hurts the growth of Baker Mayfield.
Is Josh Allen the third best quarterback in this draft?
I think you'd have to be, because very calmly and very steadily, while everything hasn't been flashy, he is up there in Buffalo navigating this Bills team to a very underappreciated record, and we probably don't appreciate what Josh Allen is growing into because we don't give them any chance being in the Patriots division. And I think if Josh Allen had this Bills team in another division that wasn't with the Patriots, we might be taking his quarterback progress a lot more seriously because we'd be taking them more serious as a division title contender.
He was really inconsistent though last year and threw some really bad interceptions.
I agree, but also he's coming from Wyoming. There's a different gap there. That Bills team hasn't had a steadying presence at quarterback freaking since Jim Kelly at this point. I mean, unless you want to count Doug Flutie and Rob Johnson, but even then that wouldn't be steady. It's hard not to like the growth of Josh Allen very quietly as well. I would go Josh Allen three.
And then is it Rosen at the end?
It's got to be Rosen at the end, and I feel so bad because me and you, the only thing I think we've agreed on in 7 years was that we thought Rosen was the best quarterback out of that class, but I worry that Josh Rosen now is just the next David Carr in that he was drafted and then put in the worst situation possible.
He's been put in a worse situation than David Carr because Carr at least had the same franchise.
Correct. But because of that offensive line expansion franchise, I still will tell you to this day, I think David Carr could have been a Hall of Fame quarterback, an excellent quarterback had he been put in a situation where they knew how to protect him and the right system and everything, and he was set up to fail, and we will never know what David Carr could have been. He's just looked at as a bust, and I am worried now. Dolphins clearly going to move on. I don't know why they acquired Rosen to begin with. If they were just going to bench him and really just be set on taking a quarterback at the end of the year anyway, when you go to a third franchise maybe in 3 years, how can a quarterback get anything going? You hope that maybe he turns out to be Rich Gannon down the line, but I feel so bad for Josh Rosen. I wonder if we'll never know what he could have been.
He's broken. I mean, they're going to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and look, they're better with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Crazy.
They nearly beat Washington last week. They were in this game yesterday in Buffalo up until the onside kick. They're way better with Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is why they went back to him. I think that they're sick of being a punchline and getting absolutely pummeled each and every week. And they go, let's try to steal a win here just for the attitude of the locker room. But Rosen would be the last pick. And so I think, isn't it crazy? Lamar Jackson was number 32 in that draft. If you repick the draft, you might take Saquon Barkley number one. Maybe. But you might take Lamar Jackson number one.
Yeah. And how big a doofus are you as a scout or general manager that if you asked him to work out at wide receiver?
Right.
I mean, what idiots.
Embarrassing. Truly embarrassing. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got the stories that did not make the cut. Plus, you got your epic fail. Piggy Doodle Dandy gets opened up at the pork store. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Speaking of the devil, we was just talking about the DA show. I mean, he looks like somebody that's going to steal your tax money. He looks like a white-collar criminal. You can never trust a dude with good hair like that with two buttons down.
Two buttons down is the telltale sign?
Yeah, one, two, yeah, you can almost see a sternum.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
42 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us. A fine Monday to you, everybody. Remember, you can always watch the show at watchda.com. The Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, pulling levers, pressing buttons, making sure that simulcast sings. And you can always watch it on any device, anywhere. That's your phone, your tablet, your PC, your desktop, even your smart TV. Watch us, won't you, at watchda.com, or check out the best of clips available on YouTube every single day. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Time now for your question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Mark in Philly asks, DA, did last night's Sunday night game tell us more about the Cowboys or how bad the Eagles actually are? Mark, I think it's more about the Cowboys because that once again proves what the Cowboys' potential is. The Cowboys' potential is putting it all together, running the football effectively, throwing the football effectively, playing good defense, jumping out to a lead early, and salting it away. They had the blueprint. Jump out, don't settle for field goals, get touchdowns, run the football, protect Dak. Amari's open, Dak finds him. It had everything you wanted in the Cowboys win. That told me, oh, okay, that Cowboys team that I thought coming into the season was the best team in the NFC East, that Cowboys team is still there. Now, why doesn't it come to play every week? That is the million-dollar question. I think it's probably twofold. I think probably it's because Jason Garrett is not a strong, consistent coach on a daily basis. I think maybe he gets lost in whether he needs to have a hand in the offensive play calling. If he doesn't, I think he's not, I believe, steady enough in his convictions of what to do. I think he's a little bit too fly-by-night sometimes of whether he feels confident, whether he can delegate, whether he needs control, whether he's feeling the heat. And I think that hurts the Cowboys' consistency. But I also think part two is that Dak is really inconsistent, that he's really streaky as a passer, really streaky as a quarterback. And that means there's a boom or bust for the Cowboys. But that told me more about the Cowboys than the Eagles. I think for the Eagles, their injuries and where this season is going is going to be middle of the road non-playoffs. This is an 8-8 team. This is an 8-8, 7-9, or 9-7 team that is going to miss the postseason. The big question is that the Cowboys that we just saw? And can the Cowboys keep tapping into that? Or are the Cowboys the ultimate tease in the NFL? Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
By the way, next week is going to be our annual Halloween episode with Katie Linendahl. Next week we'll be dressing up as we always do. Katie will be in studio. We'll have our Halloween costumes ready to go, so you got to be there next week.
A lot of weirdos, a lot of freaks.
Halloween episode of the DA Show coming up next week. Tua Tagovailoa is going to miss Saturday's game against Arkansas. He had surgery to repair his high ankle sprain. This is kind of interesting because a lot of times high ankle sprains aren't fixed with surgery. I mean, look at a guy like Saquon Barkley. He came back after a couple of weeks out, did not end up having the surgery. Now, for Tua, here's the scary part, that this is not even the ankle that he injured last year before the SEC title game. Now, when you have, or before, or during the SEC title game, when you have an injury like this, you always have to wonder as a mobile quarterback when you're going to get it back. And last year, it seemed like he got it back by the playoffs because of the way that they rolled through their first playoff game. But once they got to the championship game, it looked like Tua was limited. I mean, he was harassed by that Clemson defense. And so I wonder if this is the same type of thing. I mean, the good news is he's going to have the surgery now, just had the surgery, and he's got 20 days until the LSU game. He can afford to sit out this one against Arkansas. That's a layup, and then they have a bye after that. Then comes the LSU game, which is going to be obviously the game of the year in the SEC West right now. Is Tua going to be 100%? Because if he's hobbled, if he's hindered, if he's less than 100%, that gives LSU an enormous advantage right there. Knowing how well Joe Burrow is playing and how great that offense is under Joe Brady and company, They need Tua. They can't have anybody else. They can't have a backup in there. They need Tua, and they need Tua really effective. So the speed at which he heals could dictate whether he makes or whether the Alabama Crimson Tide are in the national championship game. I mean, that really is as fine a line as it is. And Mac Jones is going to step in here for Tua, but he ain't Tua. So they'll beat Arkansas easily. They'll have a bye. But LSU against a hobbled Tua could change the entire complexion of the playoff and then who gets the national championship game.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Meantime, Clemson defensive back Andrew Booth throws a punch on Saturday against Louisville. And the Tigers blowout win 45-10. He's on the ground rolling around with one of the Cardinals and just throws a punch right at his face. And it's a really brutal sight. It's a terrible moment. Obviously, he gets kicked out of the game. But even before that happened, Dabo sent him to the locker room. And good for Dabo for just saying, forget it, you're out of here. Dabo said today in his conference call that he made Booth ride the bus home from Louisville when the rest of the team flew. That there's team managers that drive and that he had to drive. So Louisville, Kentucky to Clemson, South Carolina, driving at night with the team managers. A lot of time to think about how embarrassing you just made it out to be for your program and yourself versus getting a fly. Look, good for Dabo. And Dabo went up to Scott Satterfield after the game. Louisville head coach apologized, said that's not who we want to be. And that's the one thing that Clemson has won and won big, but done it without looking like a bunch of jerks, without shoving it in people's faces, without dancing or fighting or having bad behavior, without a scandal. So you got to give Dabo credit there. Dabo saying this is not who we are and we will not accept it, and good for Dabo.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Oh, Piggy. Piggy Doodle Dandy, guaranteed Yankees in five. Then when the Yankees fell behind 3-1, said on Friday, if we beat Verlander in game five, I guarantee Yankees in seven. When will he ever learn?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
By them losing this series, they might have just gone the world, won the World Series, been satisfied, not spent a lot.
Right.
Now they're going to go over the top, get Gerrit Cole, maybe Strasburg, and you're looking at probably a run of four World Series in the next 5 years, and it is going to be the team of the decade in the 20s and the roaring 20s. And, you know, you guys can all laugh, and I get it. And I understand, dance on my grave now. Mm-hmm. What just happened is the worst thing in the world to happen to Yankee haters, because the beast is about to be awoken. I mean, if Gerrit Cole's not on the Astros, he's on the Yankees. Are the Yankees in the World Series? Probably. So all that happened now is the Yankees know, look, we got to do all we can this offseason to capitalize. So my assumption is, and I know anything happens in baseball, I would think for the next five World Series once you take care of this offseason.
It's a donkey.
I'll give you two definite, and then we'll see what we'll go from there.
But you're making these empty promises again. And it's the same thing, as you just changed names and dates from last year.
Why can't you just learn your lesson?
The Yankees are one of the two best teams. They just lost the World Series in 6 games.
You guaranteed they would win in five. They lost in six. You guaranteed that they would win in seven.
Did I know Michael Brantley was going to make a circus catch?
For sure.
Did I know we weren't going to walk Altuve to get to Mariznick?
For sure.
I mean, what are we talking about here, guys?
Excuses. And it's pathetic. It is so unbecoming.
You guys aren't even Yankee fans. You live to hate the Yankees. How sad a life is that? You all have sad lives.
I got no dog in the fight. I just see.
No dog in the fight? You've been spitting in my face for a month.
It's a donkey.
I'm only spitting in your face because you guarantee wins. If you would just sit there like a normal fan and watch the games.
I got pretty close to being right? We got to a game
you
six
said
times.
Yankees in five. You said Yankees in five.
Because it should have been. I didn't know Stanton was going to get hurt. Guy hits a homer at game one, goes down. We couldn't win without him.
It's so sad.
No, it's sad that this bozo next to me, Bilotti, this bozo Bogish, and you, the bozo, grew up Met fans. You hate the Yankees, and you hate the fact that I'm usually right.
We hate the Yankees because of people like you.
And, damn right. Shut up.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Shut up. Headley tweets, when it comes to head coaching a professional team, I've come to the conclusion Dan Quinn is intellectually bankrupt. Enough already. Get him out. He ain't making no tacos.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Let's remember that Dan Quinn has not made tacos in years.
Tacos.
And he is right now out of work at the taco stand.
Tacos.
They said, your tacos are terrible. You stop making them. When you do make them, people get food poisoning. You're out of a job at the taco stand, buddy.
Tacos.
Tacos are us. Bueno taco. This guy, no bueno taco. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The Doc. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow is a Trash Tuesday, everyone, so get your trashes ready. Also, first episode of Match DA drops today, as I'll recap MLS postseason weekend number one of the Eastern Conference tomorrow, Western Conference. Keep an eye out for it. The mothership disconnect.
Damn right.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.